the OTB Podcast Network.
It is almost 10 past 8 on this Friday morning. You're watching OTB AM, and I'm happy to say that the Minister of State for Sport, Jack Chambers, joins us on the line. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, and thanks for taking a call. We've been trying to get you for a while, so a few little bits to talk to you about, including, we might come back to the, I'm sure you heard in the ad break there, Brian talking about the 20 by 20 movement, but first up, the GA teams breaking bans, and obviously a number of weeks ago you had mentioned about how it had undermined the public health messaging. Given the fact that you're giving 30 million plus, including COVID payments, obviously, to Croke Park from the government side, in that context, have you held conversations with Croke Park about that, about the Monaghan and Dublin undermining your public health strategy?
Yeah, so when the two instances that you've referenced happened, we had direct engagement through officials in my own department, just reflecting our disappointment at what had happened, and obviously urging them to reinforce the rules and the fact that teams needed to comply with the staggered return of sport, and that's obviously happening gladly next Monday for inter-county Gaelic games. In fairness to Croke Park, they were very quick to reinforce that and to send a very strong message, and the president and the director Tom Ryan both sent a very clear message when we outlined the broad reopening of society and sport, whereby they urge teams to comply with the rules. I accept there's frustration across the sport system generally, but I think the issue I had at the time was that a lot of people want to do a whole variety of things in sport and across other areas, and we just need to try and maintain compliance. And in fairness to many inter-county players and teams over the last 12 months have played a very positive role in promoting the public health message. What happened in those two incidents didn't help. And I think, to be fair, majority of teams and across Gaelic Games, ladies football and Camogie have complied and promoted the public health message. Mm-hmm. And I think the GAA, in fairness, came out with a very strong message prior to the public breaches, but also since with the process of sanctions that they're working through.
Yeah. So, and in terms of those sanctions, and maybe we haven't seen the end of them yet, but obviously there's been a couple of 12-week bans for the managers of either county. Just again, given the level of funding that's come from government to Croke Park, did you seek assurances, or were you given assurances in terms of the level of sanction there? Because you've mentioned about it being that they've come out very strongly against it, but I mean, the net result obviously being a medium-term ban for the manager. Is that to your satisfaction?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to... Obviously, there are rules and procedures within the GAA which dictate what the sanctions are. I don't think it's my role to set the bar around what that means within their organisation.
Yeah, only that, and sorry to cut across you, Minister, only that you are obviously providing that level of funding to Croke Park and undermining public health messaging is a fairly serious accusation.
Yeah, no, it is. And in fairness to the leadership within the GAA themselves, Croke Park were very clear in supporting the public health message. There were obviously a couple of breaches from teams and where that has happened, they need to ensure there are sanctions and they need to be worked through. But we want to ensure, in terms of you asked the question and answer that, on obviously on funding and supporting the sport system generally. We obviously provided huge support last year to the GAA, but also all the other governing bodies to try to see them through COVID. And that's not only about the inter-county, inter-county season. It's also about supporting clubs, grassroots, and as I said, the broader sports system. So we're working through the funding asks of all governing bodies at the moment. Obviously, the scarring effect from COVID is severe, with suspension of sport for across outdoor and indoor over such a period. And what I want to see as minister is that when we're in a position to get as much sport back, and hopefully that'll happen as soon as possible, we actually support our clubs, our grassroots and our governing bodies to get as many people back playing and participating as possible. And that's the nature of why government supports sport. But also, there has to be adherence to the rules. And Croke Park were very clear in their message around the public health message, and they have to see through the consequences for those that haven't adhered to that.
Just one last one for me on that. If it happens again, is a 12-week ban enough for you?
Well, I think there certainly has to be a clear message from whatever sanction comes that there are consequences,
and, which would have to be more than a 12-week ban then.
Yeah, I think at this point, if there was a team that has, say, for example, was training this week in advance of them being allowed to train next Monday, when there's been a clear message sent from everybody that what happened in the two instances was completely unacceptable, I think that would have to be a higher bar, particularly with the with the clear message that's been sent to everyone. And I think Croke Park would have to see that through.
Minister, what is the status of the dossier that was sent to the Department of Justice on the Monaghan situation?
I know that was referred by Minister McEntee to Croke Park, and she referred it on to I believe to an Garda Síochána. I haven't received that dossier myself, so I'm not obviously privy to it. I've seen what's been reported through the media and the various pictures and the breach, but I haven't received it myself, so I'm not aware of where that's at.
There are people who will say that obviously the reaction to this has been completely overblown, that it's people just training outdoors and it's in a safe place over the last month or so. It comes back to the idea that the GAA perhaps didn't fight as hard as they might have for their elite status earlier on this year. What's your version of that event? What was the exact representation made by Croke Park to hang on to their elite status earlier this year?
Well, as you know, when we went into level five, in mid-autumn last year, there was a special exemption and derogation at that point to enable the All-Ireland Championship to happen, and that lapsed at the end of the year. And then obviously we were in a position early this year where we had a complete public health difficulty, as you know, with thousands of cases and a huge amount in hospitals. So that was the background to it. We have had a very positive relationship with John Horne and good relationship with Croke Park as well, and their own COVID committee, for example, in February was clear that they didn't feel they were in a position to have inter-county training or fixtures restored at that point. And I suppose what we've tried to do, I know it's been a slow restoration and reopening of sport in other areas, but I'm glad to be in a position now where on the 19th of April they're obviously they'll be returning to training, and it's good to see certainty around league fixtures and then the championship as well. But going back to your question, I accept people have different views about, obviously we all want to see as much participation and training outdoors as possible. But this is about when we are in a pandemic, when we are trying to get broad adherence to rules. We just need everyone to comply with them as they are. Croke Park were very clear around how they were dealing with breaches, and we obviously are underpin the broad reopening of society with rules. And I accept people have different emphasis on different things they want to see open. From my perspective, we've tried to prioritise obviously the restoration of inter-county games. It's important. This month, which we've done, as well as actually expanding the high performance category in sport as well. So, for example, there are some pathway athletes who weren't carded for, say, for the Olympics this year, and we've tried to expand that definition. So they're all going back next Monday as well. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, on the 26th, we have got the training in pods of 15 again, which I think was something that many people were looking for. So,
yeah.
And then in May we'll be looking for trying to get a greater restoration. There's obviously a lot of people between 18 and 30s or 40s that want to be out training and playing and participating, and we have a lot of feedback on that, and we'll be within government I'll be trying to certainly expand the level of sport we have initially outdoors, but we've had a lot of feedback from governing bodies obviously about the amount of sport that's been suspended for so long, so we'll be trying to get as much back as quickly as possible.
Can we ask you to expand on that a little bit? Because it is one thing that exercises people a lot, Minister, in terms of both adults and particularly in relation to kids. And it's not new news. I mean, Ronan Lynn, I know, was out yesterday saying that socialising outdoors, it turns out, is positively impacts on the spread of COVID, in that it spreads less, obviously, is a thing that I think we were all aware of. But it's not new news that the negative impact that lockdown is having on kids particularly. Have we, as a nation, dropped the ball on that over the last 12 months? We're obviously moving in the right direction. We could have done this, I put it to you, a lot sooner.
Well, you know, as I said, we obviously had from the autumn up to Christmas, we continued outdoor training in pods of 15, which was something at level 5 that hadn't been in the original plan. Obviously, from January, there has been a suspension of outdoor activity and training between January and March, has had a significant impact on participation, and we were trying to obviously promote that. And get it restored as soon as it was safe to do so. And as you know, NPHET's advice was that actually it would come back in May for under 13. So we've moved quicker than that in what we've done. I recognise the absolute importance for physical and mental health that we get sport and activity restored as quickly as possible. Mm. And I'll be doing everything I can when we get, as I said, for young adults and the broader system returned, that we can get as many people back who potentially missed out over the last number of months. And in the new sport action plan, which I've been working through, one thing I want to do is over the coming months is to try and make up for that lost time and do everything we can with the sport system and governing bodies to, whether it's through membership or the sport system, how can we get as many people back who potentially slipped off the...
Yeah,
because of the restrictions.
Sorry again to cut across you, but just on that making up for lost time, I was reading an article, and the reason I specifically say it's not new news, it was that I was picking through an article from The Guardian last night, which was from April 2020, which was a report on the impact of lockdown on kids in Spain, actually, and we're talking about a lot of things that we've become very familiar with. It's become part of the narrative around this now, where you had kids fighting, sadness, anger, regression with toilet behaviours and so on. So we're spooling on a year and we're saying that we're getting there in terms of forward planning, but we've known this is bad for kids for quite some time. Why haven't we prioritised that in relation to training and matches and organised sport? Because like kids are often obviously housed in tight locations, you know, communities that might not necessarily be able to facilitate sport in an organised way, that need that club back doing it. Why haven't we prioritised that, and why have we had the last 4 months, for example, where that hasn't been possible for kids?
Well, just as you remember, in January, the background context was the severity of the third wave, where kids not only could they not play outdoors, they couldn't go to school, and there was a concern from a public health perspective around the mobility around organised outdoor activity, and it's only this week, in fact, we have everyone at primary and secondary level back in school. It was an absolute priority for me as minister, and there were, if you look at what's happened in April, which is kind of the start of our reopening. I know it hasn't happened maybe as soon as in April as everyone would wish, but there is a plan to do it and to restore it, and it was there, as I said, prior to Christmas as well. In terms of the restrictions and the impact on physical participation and on for people's physical and mental health is significant, and I suppose.
Do you take advice around that, Minister? Outside of, I know you've mentioned NPHET, but do you take advice around the impact specifically? Have you experts around the table who are advising about the mental health impact on children?
Well, we've got our sports expert group, for example, that brings in some of the medical expertise and some of the governing bodies, for example.
And is there somebody on that who's specifically talking about the mental health impact on children?
I have not on the sports expert group. There isn't. There would be the medical expertise in the governing bodies, but we engage with all the governing bodies, and I've engaged with young people myself. We had a positive engagement with on a youth forum with young people on the impact of not only the the restrictions over the last number of months, but also how we can ensure young voices impact sport policy in a more positive way.
I think Minister, people will be surprised to hear that the advice obviously has come from NEFID, and we understand that, and it's obviously expert advice in that regard, but that when we are having conversations to the magnitude that we're having in terms of the impact that this is going to have on children, that there isn't somebody around the table who understands that field and is advising you on it.
Well, I mean, there is from a governing body perspective, and obviously mental health is one of the considerations that, and the impact on physical and mental health is one of the impacts that are one of the considerations that that's referenced by many of the governing bodies. What we've had in terms of the expert group and on the return to sport, there's been expertise across the governing bodies from a medical perspective, and obviously anyone from with a medical background would look at the physical and mental health of the people they represent and the impact in the sports system. And then, but obviously government takes its advice through the Department of Health, which has a significant, obviously, segment of that department is around mental health, and the National Public Health Emergency Team, and any public health doctor, it's about the physical and mental health of in their public health consideration. So it isn't the case of one consideration being the sole consideration. There is an absolute consideration within government on the impact on people's mental health, and when government is making decisions on matters related to restrictions, mental health is an important consideration. And that's why if you look at when we had a severe lockdown in January, we, in terms of the supports for people and the impact on their mental health was something that was regularly referenced, and the severity of ongoing restrictions had on people. And that's why we're anxious we're outdoors, obviously safer than indoor, we get as much outdoor activity back as soon as possible, that we keep it back. And that's, I know it's with the phased return to sport, it is important that we keep it open when we can open it all.
Yeah, just one final one from me, Jack, before Adrian finishes. Just on the idea of the Olympics, there's some questioning around whether or not Ireland's Olympians should be vaccinated before they go to Tokyo. Does it probably mean them jumping up the queue a bit for their vaccines? What's your stance on this? Would you put them up the queue to vaccinate the Olympians?
Well, yeah, no, I know there's been different responses to this across different countries. Interestingly, at our sports management group, one of the representatives from the Athletes Commission kind of referenced the fact that that countries, you know, there's been a message from the OIC that, you know, Olympians should follow the national sequencing as it's set out by each member state or by each nation themselves, and I think we've obviously got an age-based sequencing now, which is transparent and fair, and based on the overall risk which age represents, and that's how we've decided to pursue vaccination right now. So, I think, and that's, in fairness, certainly from the international message from the Olympic Federation has been that countries should, the organisations within countries should follow the national sequence, and I think that's important, so we maintain the integrity around vaccination.
So no pushing up the queue for Olympians.
Well, no. We have at the moment we've got sequencing based on age, and that's transparent and fair. And I think certainly that was reflected by we had on our sports management group. We've got a representative of the athletes themselves, and I think they recognise the sensitivity around this, and we've seen other instances of issues with our vaccination, you know, in terms of who's prioritised over who. And I think we all know and agree that age is the single biggest issue when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to the impact of COVID.
One last thing we wanted to ask you about, Minister, you would have heard in the ad break Brian O'Driscoll talking about the 20 by 20 movement. It developed the conversation here, I don't know, it's something you're familiar with, about women's sport and the connection between women's sport and the Irish people. More than anything I've seen in my lifetime, it moved people, I think, physically and philosophically. It's finished now, and so that private sector solution is done. What's the plan?
Yeah, no, and welcome the fact that your own programme Off the Ball are regular advocates of this, and I listened to Brian Driscoll in the ad break there as well. And we've had a really positive engagement with the 2020 campaign, and we want to embed a lot of their ideas as permanent changes. And I think that there's a few issues. Obviously, one of them, at a governance level, we need to ensure that where decisions are made for sport and governing bodies, that there's an absolute priority in decision making around women's sport. And so we've got an issue at the moment where many of our governing bodies don't have proper balance on their boards, and I want to take strong action on that. We've had a lot of
what would strong action mean in that regard?
Well, we've had a lot of soft targets in the past, which have not resulted in outcomes. We've got some of our NGBs that are still of less than 10%.
Yeah, IRFU has 8% at the minute.
Yeah, and that's not sustainable or acceptable from my perspective. So we're strongly examining gender quotas, for example, and that means if governing bodies don't make significant progress on this, that there'll have to be conditionality associated with their public funding. And I make no apology for that. I think we have to see...
What does significant progress mean? Does that mean that you want them to hit the targets, or you want them to make some sort of...
I think 30% is the target. And I think for governing bodies that are still below 10% or even are making no progress near it, I can't stand over that.
No,
there has to be progress on it.
Some progress is a bit of an Irish solution to an Irish problem, isn't it? I mean, if you were to just say 30%, or we're going to make punishments here.
Yes, yeah, and I think that has to happen. We've had 2 or 3 years now of soft targets and some governing bodies that don't appear to be taking this seriously, and we all know if there isn't change from a leadership perspective and a governance perspective, how do we expect the whole organisation and structure to pursue the sincerity of how they want that to ripple through their organisation and their grassroots? And I think that's important. There's obviously also many other issues with the 2020 campaign. Obviously, media is a big aspect as well. In fairness, there has been progress on that. I know, I wrote to RTÉ earlier this year myself on making sure women's sport didn't suffer in any way in terms of the coverage, with a lot of sport returning in the summer, that there was no deterioration of that. And in fairness, there has been a huge improvement there, and we need to see that strengthened and embedded as well. But also there is, I also acknowledge, say, for example, we've had a lot of negative publicity last year, for example, on the disparity between what the WGPA and the GPA receive around and the huge difference in what players receive. And from my perspective, I can't stand over that. And we're working through a review at the moment where I want to see all girls playing sport today need to know that the state and the governing bodies that represent their sport are serious about equality, about participation, and about there being no glass ceiling in sport. And in a 21st century in Ireland, we have to ensure a sport policy promotes that in a really positive way. And I'm determined to follow through on that in every way I can.
And look, it is good to hear those words, and I'm sure people will take encouragement from them coming from obviously the Minister for Sport. You just mentioned positive engagement there in relation to the 20 by 20 campaign. What was that in terms of action?
Yeah, so we met them last year a number of times, and also the Federation of Irish Sport.
You met the 20 by 20 campaign themselves.
Yes, we did there's a subgroup of Sport Ireland that has worked positively with the 2020 campaign, and we did myself, Minister Martin, had an extensive engagement with them. We worked through the multiplicity of kind of important matters when it came to media, leadership, governance, funding, and balance and gender balance on boards, for example. So we want to, in our sports action plan, which we've been working on, it hasn't been published yet, because I think it's important to publish at a time when our sports system has returned. A lot of the actions that the 2020 campaign were promoting will be reflected in that as a core part of our policy. And in the programme for government, we're also committed to addressing this matter in a positive way. And as I said, everything we do and every funding stream we have will be to achieve progress on many of the core issues that the 2020 campaign have promoted. I think they've played an excellent role in advocating progress on this, and I want to embed those changes from a sports policy perspective.
Yeah, and we look forward to seeing those. I know you're 9 months into the role, so we might have you on again at some point where we can talk about the actions off the back of that. You're into your sport, clearly, from talking to you. Would you like to see a more of a focus on sport, in that it's obviously one part, fragmented part of a larger group within the ministry? Would you like to see it? I know it's never had its own ministry, but even as a dual ministry might make it a bit more of a government priority.
Well, I think as you said, I am huge into sport. This was the two things growing up were sport and politics, and played a lot of sport throughout my, between Gaelic football, rugby, soccer, everything else, and come from a family that's massive into sport as well. So, but just from a, government, this is a huge priority for government. It's not fragmented in any way. If you look at the funding last year and I think the funding again this year, it's getting that priority, but also, trying to see through a lot of the things we have in terms of sport policy and supporting our athletes. And I want to make sure we put it in a much better place and achieve a lot of the objectives we've set out. But I can just assure you that it is a core. I think one thing that can be strengthened is from the public health role. And you mentioned this earlier on. I think the role that sport can play around achieving our, public health at the moment, it seems to be dominated by what people perceive around the pandemic. But actually, if hopefully when we're in a space when we're not only talking about COVID figures, the role of sport can play in physical activity and mental health and public health is enormous. And I think we can strengthen the role there. But also we've around education as well. I think how can we strengthen role sport plays in our education system. I think if you look from a comparative perspective in Europe, I think you probably know this, we've all, from primary and secondary school, the level of physical activity and sport in school sometimes depends on the culture within the school itself. I think we have to have better number of minutes and hours allocated in any given day to physical activity and sport. I think that would play a huge role to across the sports system to actually to strengthen that. So I think we can feed the sport into more areas of government, and that's something I'm anxious to advance. And we've had good engagements with, say, Minister for Education, for example, and also Department of Health as well. So I think that's something that can be strengthened and have a positive, as I said, public and mental health benefit as well.
Yeah, well, look, I know we've kept you over time. You've been very good with your time. Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.